Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor Podcast. On this podcast, it's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about what is actually causing your pain. You see, it's a question that I get frequently. People want to know what is actually at the source of this, what's actually causing it. And usually it's followed up with, is it the nerve? Is it the muscle? Is it something else? Where is the pain actually coming from? I want to break down that question. It's a really good question. And I think what it speaks to is this sense of people wanting to, one, break things down to the smallest, you know, extent where you understand the origin, you understand what exactly is happening to cause the symptoms. I want to talk about how the body is, all these different systems and all these different structures work together in unison, in a sense, in order to allow us to move. And so how we typically don't experience pain in isolation, but also understanding that it's common in our healthcare system to speak of pain as coming from a single origin. So if we think of the knee, you have knee pain from your arthritis, you have knee pain because your meniscus, you have knee pain because your ACL, your patellofemoral joint. So there are different structures within an area of the body, respectively, that will cause pain. And so, or the nerve can cause pain, and sciatica and low back, and you get this shooting numbness, tingling down your leg. So the source of pain itself and the type of pain, it's a valid question because we want to understand that. Largely, though, that question, it helps us get to the root of the issue, but it's a little bit more broad than that. So it's a little bit more of a all-encompassing, here's the paradigm we're going to look at this through, of movement, but it's not necessarily like this specific muscle is angry, because the muscle, the joint, the nerve, they're all going to function together. And so generally with most every patient that we see, there's multiple things, there's multiple factors. The muscle's angry, the nerve's angry, the joint itself is not functioning well. And I'll try to break that down so you all can understand that better. So first off, let's talk about pain itself. So the type of pain that you experience is telling of the type of tissue in your body that's irritated. So muscle, for example, if you exert yourself and you place an amount of stress, whether it's at a single moment or over an extended period of time, if you're placing that stress on muscle tissue, the muscle might present with soreness, but the soreness will likely be delayed. And oftentimes muscle pain itself can sort of be ignored. So think of that like shoulder tension that you can push through if you're busy at work, if you just have to complete that task in front of you. You can largely ignore it, but then when you kind of calm down or you unwind for the night, you wind down and you're trying to fall asleep. That's when you start to feel, okay, like I just have this tension. My shoulders are a little achy. My neck doesn't feel quite right. And that would be speaking to the muscle itself. So largely you can sort of drown it out. It's more of an achy, diffuse type of pain that you would feel. And so when someone describes their symptoms that way, we would think muscle, and likely not just like a specific muscle, but more of a diffuse presentation. So multiple muscle groups are angry. They're not happy. This is where like the tension type headache comes into play, where it's something that pops up as the day goes on. It's not necessarily contributed to like one specific incident. It doesn't come on quickly and go away quickly. It's a gradual onset. It builds over time. You have this sort of diffuse presentation, and then it might sort of calm down with sleep, or if you give your muscle a chance to relax or enter into something therapeutic, that helps it out. So that would be muscle. And then we have the joint itself. So when I talk about joints, I'm going to assume that All right. So a joint is just basic anatomy. It's two bones that interact, and there's movement between them. There's all different types of joints in the body. There's ball and socket joints. There's hinge joints. And the joints are held together by ligaments. So ligaments are these thick bands of tissue. There's not much stretch to them. There is some element of stretch, but not much. And they will hold the joint together. And all those ligaments that surround the joint make up what's called the joint capsule. Now, a joint, in order to move well, has the synovial fluid in it. It's kind of like the oil or the lubricant to like a ball bearing or a joint, some like in a mechanical sense. Now, if you're working on a car, there needs to be some lubricant for that joint to not necessarily wear out. So there's less friction. And so the synovial fluid is that for our joints, and it's held inside this joint capsule, which is made up of ligaments, and that it allows that joint to move. And there's some space within the joint. When we think of arthritis, that's essentially just saying the space between the joint has narrowed. So it doesn't have the same amount of space it had when you were younger, or what it should have, or what standard is. So the joint itself can be a source of pain. I think oftentimes people overlook this. They think, is it my muscle or is it the nerve? Those are the two main categories when people are thinking of something in my body isn't right. It's muscle or nerve. Okay. The joint, though, is actually a major player in this, and actually probably one of the primary drivers of a lot of injuries of the body, and I would argue one of the primary drivers for headache and migraine symptoms, any sort of head or facial pain. Because you see what happens is, and this is a basic principle throughout the body, is if we don't use the mobility and the capability of these different tissues, so whether it's muscle tissue, the ligaments, the joints' ability to move, if we don't use the full range of motion, if we don't use our muscles, if we don't exert our muscles, we lose it. We get weaker. We know that. Everyone knows that. If we don't if we don't use a joint to its full capacity, the joint will adaptively shorten. The ligaments that surround the joint will adaptively shorten. So if your elbow has, let's say, 180 degrees or so of mobility. It's less than that. But if it has 180 degrees of mobility, but you only extend your elbow halfway, you never go past 90 degrees, over time, it will likely forget how to move into that 90 plus range. And so what happens is the ligaments, they adaptively shorten. Okay, now, the muscle tissue that surrounds that joint, it's not like they completely forget how to function. It's not like it's not natural for you to not extend past 90. And the response to that is pain. The joint itself can respond with inflammation, inflammation within the joint. So pressure that's built up within the joint capsule itself. And that's where barometric pressure comes into play. Because if the barometric pressure drops, that pressure gradient within the joint to outside the joint makes it so the joint feels more swollen than it is, and you have more pain. So that can explain barometric pressure as a trigger for those with headaches, because we're talking about joint issues in the neck. The muscles are trying to pull that joint past the 90 degrees, but if that joint is saying I can't do that, the ligaments have adaptively shortened, and I no longer have the ability. What happens is those muscles just keep pulling, and they have to work harder. It's not as efficient to, let's take this to the head and neck. If you're rotating C1 and C2, so the first bone in the neck, shaped like a donut, sits on the thumb-like structure of C2. So C1, shaped like a donut, sitting on C2, that's shaped like a thumb. And as you rotate, there's about 45 degrees of rotation or so that should be just through that one joint. Now, if over time, because of stress, because of trauma, because of a whole number of reasons, that joint has lost its ability to move. And let's say it's only doing 5 degrees or maybe even less. Maybe it doesn't really move at all. It's sort of stuck with a slight rotation or a slight side bend. Not only are those muscles surrounding that part of the neck going to need to work harder just to keep the head upright because it's not really sitting in neutral, but when you rotate, when you try to rotate all the way to one side, it'll pull really, really hard to get the same effort done, those muscles in that area. It's also going to impact the musculature around that area. So think of your head as the 10 to 12 pound weight. It's like the weight of a bowling ball. I say that a lot. And it's your neck is responsible for holding it up and moving it. Well, if the upper part of your neck is really tight and your head's not sitting in neutral, and every time you rotate, your neck's having to use these accessory muscles to get that job done, just basic movements, it's having to work a lot harder. And it may not be something you experience right away, but it's something that as tension increases over time, it'll pop up, and then you wake up one morning and you're like, man, I had headaches. I've never had headaches before, but now they're here and they won't go away. And there's really nothing that you felt triggered it. That's how that happens. So the joint can cause pain. I probably went on a little bit of a tangent, but the joint itself can cause pain. And how that pain presents is more of a specific presentation. So think the ice pick on the side of the head, the ice pick in the eye. Think of the ram's horn presentation, or this burning, stabbing pain that wraps up and around the head on one side. Think pain just at the base of the skull. If you press there and it's real sensitive on one side. It could be, I've had joints just recently. I had a patient who the head sitting on the first bone was really tight, and the rest of their neck was actually moving okay. But that specific joint was causing them to be nauseous and just constantly sort of off, dizzy feeling, not necessarily like they're going to throw up, but just a little bit off. And that one joint was causing their brain to perceive the sense of nausea. And there's all sorts of different sensations that people can get when the neck, the joint itself, is really irritated. Another common one is more so on the left side, but if you feel the base of your skull drop down into the fleshy part, that's the what we call the suboccipital area, and then just a touch lower, maybe like a half an inch or an inch lower on the left-hand side, there's probably a little knot that you can feel. That's pretty common. What happens with a lot of people is their head's tipped to the right. Their shoulder has to anchor on this spot in the neck to keep your head from falling over to the right. And that joint gets a little irritated. That spot can be very sensitive and very aggravating for anyone. And so, that's sort of a, as opposed to the muscle pain, which is more of a gradual onset and diffuse, it's kind of all over. The joint is usually a specific, potentially rapid onset, but then it can go away relatively quickly as well. Hey guys, if you are listening to this podcast, the chances are you have headaches or migraines and you're searching for relief outside of medication. Well, maybe you've tried different products on the market or devices, traction units, things like that, but they haven't really scratched that itch and provided you with the relief you're looking for. Well, what we've done here at Novera is taken the principles that we teach and abide by in our in-person care and come up with a product that allows you to apply those same pressures and improving mobility to the upper part of your neck at home. You see, it's called the SAM device, Simple Affordable Migraine Relief. And the device allows you to improve mobility to the upper part of your neck. And we are excited to announce that it's available today on our website. Visit NoveraHeadacheCenter.com, click on the SAM device page where you can look at videos and learn more about the SAM product and purchase it for yourself and start treating your headaches and migraines more naturally without medication. Again, that's NoveraHeadacheCenter.com, and click on the SAM device page to purchase your very own SAM device today. Now, the joint pain can be debilitating. The muscle pain can be as well. But typically, if the joint is really angry and you agitate the joint, yeah, it will put you down. That's like the migraine symptoms that we talk about on this podcast that many of our patients experience. So, but generally, these two aren't in isolation. There's a combination of them going on because the muscles are not as happy because they're having to do more work, responding to a joint that's not moving. And so we have these two components. Then we have nerve pain. So the nerves are fascinating. They want to move through the body, I think that's something that's overlooked. Most people don't realize that nerves need to move. There needs to be some slack in the system. Nerves, they run from your spinal cord all the way down to your fingertips and your toes. And just like the joints, just like the muscles, if we don't teach our body how to move, if we don't teach those nerves how to move into the positions where you're taking up all the slack, and you're just sort of, you only allow them maybe 80% of their mobility, and that last 20% is almost never utilized, you might lose that extra 20%. And so nerve tension develops. So the nerves forget how to glide, how to move through all these different tissues, the ligaments, the tendons, the different muscle structures, the fascia. It's gliding through all of these structures, but if it gets stuck or adhered because of tension, then you can have nerve tension. And a nerve itself, if it's going to tell you it's not happy, it's likely going to be with numbness, tingling, maybe a sharp burning sensation, shooting, stabbing, that sort of thing. It's think of like more of an electrical type response, like that burning sensation is more of a nerve itself. Now, when it comes to headaches, we have the occipital nerves, greater and lesser occipital nerve, that run from the base of the skull up around the back of the head and forward. We also have the trigeminal nerve, which picks up sensation from the face. These are two of the most common nerves involved with headaches and migraines. The brain, one, can perceive pain coming from these areas, so the nerves may be fine. There's not necessarily anything wrong with the nerves. The brain just thinks that the pain is coming from somewhere in the occipital nerve department or the trigeminal nerve department, so it feels like your trigeminal nerve has an issue, and that's where like neuralgias, like trigeminal neuralgia or occipital neuralgia, that's where they can be neck problems. So it's not as if we just like look at the nerve and, oh, your nerve's inflamed for whatever random reason. It's like, no, there's more going on. The nerve not happy because of XYZ. Usually that is just a result of the body not moving the way it should, which goes back to joint mobility, muscle function, all that sort of thing. Okay, so we've got the nerve playing its role. We've got the muscle, and then we've got the joint. Okay, so the joint I'm going to throw in there, like the ligaments as well, which make up the capsule. Inflammation that's more of a sudden onset, intense pain located to one specific spot. Then we've got more of a dominant muscle presentation, which is general achiness, band presentation in the forehead, which might gradually increase throughout the day. And then we've got nerve, which is more like numbness, tingling, burning type pain or sensation. Now, how do we look at this, and how is this important? What is the value of this? Well, one, when someone is describing their symptoms, it can be really helpful to just get that input. That's probably the most valuable thing when someone's talking to us, whether virtually or in person, is how do your symptoms present? So is it one-sided? Is it on the side of your head? Is it behind your eye? Is it in your temple? Is it on both sides? Does it present like a strap presentation in the forehead? Is it just in the base of your skull? Does it run into your neck? And then also connecting it to different activities throughout the day, which can lead us to understand better what is causing it, because different structures are going to be more sensitive. So like if you're sitting at a desk job and you say, yeah, I have this pain in my forehead and it gradually builds throughout the day, it's probably going to be, okay, you're presenting with a tension type headache, your head's forward. We need to condition your shoulders and your neck enough to be able to tolerate that. If it's when I wake up in the morning, I have pain in my temple on my right side, it's going to be, okay, well, something in your neck or jaw is not happy with how you're sleeping, and we need to, one, reduce the level of tension through that area and then talk about sleep position. If it's, hey, I go to the gym and I work out or I do some intense exercise and then I get a really stabbing, debilitating pain on my right side, I'm going to think, or on my left side, wherever, I'm going to think, okay, there's probably a specific joint that we're loading and the joint's not happy in general, but when we load it and exert more force through it, it really doesn't, it's really not happy. Okay, so we're taking this information, we're piecing it apart. But knowing that it's not as if, I mean, it's rare to have someone that's just presenting with a joint problem, just presenting with a muscle problem, or just presenting with neural tension. And so what we do in treatment is we wrap all this together and we cater it specifically to what you're dealing with, but most people have a combination of the three. So we need the muscle function to coordinate like it should, so that they're efficient, so that they're not working harder than they need to. We need the joints to be able to move so that you can find neutral, so that you can have the mobility you're looking for. You can give the muscles a break. And after the muscles and the joints, not necessarily after, but coinciding with that, we're also going to consider what your nerve mobility is. If you have neural tension, if you have numbness, tingling, if the nerves themselves are not able to move or glide throughout your body, that could easily be contributing to tension that's building up, or a resting posture with a forward head position or shoulder forward position. It could be holding you in that sort of state of tension. And then, of course, rolling that all into education of how what you should be changing throughout the day, things that you should be considering. And so it's, we can get specific with what is actually causing this. Usually, I mean, outside of what I just described and that sort of the different buckets, it's generally like all of it. It's all going to be a part of your story, of your journey. I can say that with a fair amount of confidence. Of course, I don't know you personally, the listener. I mean, I know a lot of our patients listen to this, so there is a chance I probably do know your situation personally. But if you're looking to understand your situation better, and you're like, I just need to know what tissue is causing it, or what is it, muscle? Is it nerve? Is it the joint? I think one of the final things I'll say is that question, I think what it's trying to get at is, if I knew it was nerve, we could do a nerve ablation. Or if I knew it was a muscle, we could do Botox. Or if I knew, and so what's happening here is our healthcare system is so hyper-specialized that's how we're thinking as individuals. We're thinking, how do I treat the specific tissue because that's the thing that needs to heal? When really, we just need to look at how our body should function. And when it doesn't function that well, what happens? And each individual tissue presents differently, but it's not as if we need to just focus on the one thing. We need to look at the body as a whole and understand why it's not moving the way it should. Okay, so that's my... And I love questions that people ask me, because usually when I'm in a session or interacting with someone virtually, I don't necessarily have, you know, 20, 30 minutes, and I definitely don't have the time to like lay out an outline and put together a podcast. And so these are questions I get all the time. And so I'm structuring them, providing them to you. And then we use these as sort of a library of, hey, go check out this podcast when we hear these questions pop up again. So hopefully this is helpful. I want more questions from you guys. If you're a listener, if you've never reached out, if you haven't interacted with us as a patient, that's fine. Email us, send us your questions. I'm happy to review them and potentially structure them as a podcast episode. And then, of course, reach out. We don't want you to suffer any longer. And there are solutions to nearly any type of headache or migraine. Thank you guys so much for supporting this podcast and being a regular listener. Stay tuned next week. And as always, please share, leave us a 5-star review. Pass this on to someone that you know would benefit from it. As always, it's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. Thanks so much.
Hey guys, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. I know that you have a lot of options in how you spend your time and how you consume information around headaches and migraines. I just wanted a quick ask, because the only way that we grow this podcast and continue this mission is if you subscribe, share this podcast, and of course, leave us a 5-star review. Those are cherished, and it makes my day when I see someone's story come through as a 5-star review and how this podcast has been able to help you. Thank you so much again for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast, and I'll see you next week.